seas, cousin. Back for part two. All right, so picking up where we left off, which was on the theme of outer planets, one of the transits that kind of blew through your world between around 2004 and 2011 was Uranus in Pisces. This was challenging. It was challenging in ways that you may not have been able to put your finger on. And at the same time, there was a real measure of freedom that this transit taught you to have and taught you to want. And by freedom, I do mean freedom of self more than necessarily freedom of movement, though freedom of movement may certainly be part of that. And in addition, freedom of association. It has become, I believe, very important for you to be free to associate with whomever you want. There is an authentic measure of independence in that freedom of association. And if you think about it, by the rules that our society places on relationships, one of the things that is the most often constrained is the freedom of association. And what that block on the freedom of association does is it prevents us from exploring different facets of ourselves that we might experience with someone else, that we might not experience with that other person. We can stretch into this way of being or this subject or this facet of our personalities. And I think that this freedom of association is just vital to actual human self-actualization. So that happened. And along with that, you went through kind of electroshock therapy for 7 years. It was not easy to maintain stability. You may have found yourself, moving around quite a bit. So that freedom of movement is possible in there as a kind of a side effect of that transit. And also this sensation of not really knowing who you were at any given time. And this transit ended on March 11th, 2011. It stretches back 7 years before that, and it ends on a significant day, which was the day of the Fukushima earthquake. So when Uranus left your sign, it left your sign with a bang, with a world event that the world has yet to acknowledge, much yet recover from. And there was a kind of a signature placed, a stamp placed onto the planet that commemorated the end of this transit. And when Uranus left your sign, it entered your second house. It entered the sign Aries, a sign that you always have as the sign after yours, hence it's the second house, and that makes it the house of your personal resources. It makes it the house of your money, your values, and how you feel about yourself. Now, after 7 years of Uranus in your sign, Uranus in the seventh house is not a big deal, but it's important to adapt and to make sure that you are kind of riding with the tide of that. And so it is a continuation of Uranus in your own sign. And it continues, though, on the level of values, self-respect, and self-esteem. And you could say that the message of this transit is to ultimately encourage you, teach you, make it impossible for you not to respect who you are, whatever it is that you may feel, whatever it is you may want, whatever it is that you may believe that you need, and to also respect the highly innovative gift that you have to offer. What's also interesting about having Uranus on the second house is that, Aries, with Uranus and Aries, but let's stick to Aries for a second. Aries placed on the second house is that it is saying that your greatest resource is steadfastly being yourself. Now, I know Pisces is famous for, you know, shape-shifting and cloaking and veiling and all this. However, there's another message right below the wrapper of that possibility of morphing and adapting And being someone who is willing to kind of, adapt to the situation because you need to adapt to the situation, which is a valuable asset, by the way. Those who can't really do that really do have a problem on their hands. But beneath that wrapper is this intense urgency about really being yourself. Lifelong gift that you have from your planetary setup. And when we put Uranus into that part of your horoscope, when we accentuate the already powerful tropism toward being yourself, the already powerful idea that you are the most important thing that you have and have to offer the world, that you, your truth to yourself, your existence, and your self-conscious existence is your bank account. And when we put Uranus in there, that pushes that to the maximum. And it accentuates the idea that you really need to experiment with how different you are and how radical your values are. Now, you may not see it that way. You may think that, you're just you, and yeah, you're different from everybody else, and everybody's kind of different from everybody else. But I would point out just a little something that is particularly glaring at this point in your personal history, which is that you're actually really different from other people, and the thing that makes you different is what you value about life, about yourself, about the human experience, and the experiment in living out those different values is one of the deepest themes of your life right now. And this is a long process. It's a 7-year process. It's about halfway over because Uranus entered Aries to stay in March of 2011. So we're reaching about the midpoint of that journey. And along with that, there is another transit that is moving through another house that is associated with resources. That is Capricorn, or your 11th house. Now, you'll often hear the 11th house usually associated with Aquarius. In your chart, it's associated with Capricorn, associated with groups. The 11th house is the house of groups. But there's actually something else that is more important about the, and that is the way in which it is a vast well of resources that you can tap into. It's as if you have the ability to tap into the resources of the entire society, the collective resources. You have access to what you might think of as the community chest. And this is especially true with Pluto moving through the 11th house, your 11th house. Pluto is in Capricorn. And one of the things it's doing is it's saying that you are free to make your way through society in what may seem like a profoundly different or subversive or challenging or evolutionary or different, basically different ways. That your journey through the culture right now, through the culture maybe being even as small as your immediate circle of friends or the culture, maybe you're a rock star or an artist. Maybe you are an aspiring rock star or artist. Maybe you are a writer. Maybe you are in some way doing something that influences the culture. Most of my listeners and readers are involved in that kind of activity on some scale or another. And Pluto moving through this house in your chart is saying something to you that is very specific, which is that you are making room to be yourself in the culture, and additionally that the culture is changing in ways that may not be immediately perceptible to the naked eye, but no less are real and are accessible to you. And what's been happening over in particular the past 3 to 4 years is that your, let's say, journey into your own radical nature, your journey into how different you are, your willingness to experiment and experience yourself as being something completely distinct from the rest of the world, is meeting with a kind of an opening in the world where there is a space that has been created where you have this odd, unusual freedom that you may have never had before, and that you may not notice that you have now, because it's really easy to miss this, right? You have to be very perceptive, and you must be perceptive about what it is that you are actually doing. And when you combine these two transits, Uranus through your second in Aries and Pluto through your 11th in Capricorn, into the aspect pattern that they have been making over the past few years, there is a possibility to move a lot of resources, whatever you may think of as resources. There is the potential to have an actual, highly unusual impact on the culture around you. Now, this is all by way of encouragement to keep doing either what you're doing if you know it's the right thing, or the right thing that you know is the thing to do, no matter how weird it seems, no matter how much in the past you have decided, oh, there really wasn't a way to succeed at doing this. It is now possible for something that was demonstrably impossible 5 years ago, 3 years ago, 2 years ago, there is now at least astrological evidence, and I think plenty of evidence coming from the culture, that you have the freedom to do that thing. And you have the freedom to do that thing connecting with your personal resources and some level of resources in the culture. Now, this is especially encouraging news for those who must deal with what is sometimes called corporate America, or the kind of corporate community, right? Typically, we find that the corporate community is impossible to relate to, that its specifications and its requirements and its conservatism, mainly which is based on fear, which is mainly based on the fear of controversy in some way, makes it impossible. But I would suggest that no matter how many times you have decided that, or seen evidence of that, believed it, had someone say that to you, try again, in earnest, for a year or 2 years. Make it your business to extend yourself, to make contact again, to experiment with the process of reaching out, and don't hide who you really are. That's the thing that will sort of like make the magic fizzle out. The way that you will have this kind of magic impact is by authenticity, by not invoking the energy of hiding, by not invoking the energy of concealing, and by not allowing the fear that you are too different to in any way influence you, your thoughts, your mind, your art, your music, your writing, or anything like that. Perceive yourself, experience yourself, experiment with yourself as being free to actually be yourself, and see what happens. The truth is, you've got nothing to lose. Yes, there are moments of frustration in doing this. Yes, there are lots of people who are going to be around you who don't have this kind of commitment to innovation, or somebody whispering in their ear saying, yeah, go for it. Who you really are, that person that you don't usually mention, that's the thing to bring out and to bring into the world in a focused, sincere, bold way. All right, that's a bit about the Uranus-Pluto square. The big news, by the way, of the past few years, one thing interesting about these Uranus-Pluto aspects is sometimes they have their most powerful manifestations after the aspect technically ends. And this aspect technically ends in March of 2015. It's gone from the first exact contact was June of 2012. The last exact contact is March 2015, for a total of 7 contacts. Right now, as I'm recording here on the 10th of December 2014, we are just approaching the 6th of 7. And then early next year, when this publication comes out, we will be approaching the 7th of 7, and then the aspect will begin to separate. It will begin a new phase of the story of the Uranus-Pluto square. By the way, an event that has its roots in the 1960s with the conjunction of Uranus and Pluto in your opposite sign, Virgo, and then which has its next major turning point at the opposition in 2046. That's in a long time. So as you can see, these Uranus-Pluto contacts don't happen frequently. When they happen, very big things develop in their wake, and we are at a major junction point, which you might think of as the first quarter meeting of Uranus and Pluto prior to full phase, or the opposition, in 2046. This is a great moment. We need to take that moment, and it impacts these parts of your chart that are all about your values, your resources, and the state of your relationship with society. It could hardly be in a better place in your chart if you want to live in a bold way. And no matter how, you know, retreating, retiring, or kind of behind the scenes you like to be, I would encourage you to put your boldest foot forward right now and stick to what you believe in. Stick to what you know to be true about yourself, because that something is the something that is going to carry you forward and allow you to live the truth of who you are, rather than to merely carry or hold or contemplate the truth of who you are. All right, so speaking of kind of the whole achievement thing, let's tell a little story about your 10th house, Sagittarius. That is counting 10 signs away from yours. So it's your whole sign, 10th house, if you're Pisces rising, and your solar 10th house, if you are Pisces sun, and that is Sagittarius. And in any form of sun sign astrology or whole sign astrology, the 10th house from Pisces, Sagittarius, is the house of achievement. It is the house of recognition. It is the house of reputation. And it is the one basically where you are the most visible, and also the one where you are called upon to take leadership in some way. And the really bizarre thing about Sagittarius right now is that it is in a kind of state of anarchy. There is a collection of minor planets, new discoveries, asteroids, centaurs, trans-Neptunian objects, make-believe objects, and galactic points like the galactic center and the great attractor that makes the alien tavern scene in Star Wars look like it could use a little bit of diversity. There is so much going on in your 10th house that it is amazing if you manage to get up and do something reasonably consistent every day for a while, because there are so many things that are calling you, and there are so many influences that are, let's say, impacting your sense of mission. That's a really vital thing. And Sagittarius is the sign, I would say, is most closely associated with the sense of mission. It's the only sign, for example, that is illustrated by an arrow leaving the bow. That arrow can only fly in one direction, and that is the symbol associated with your 10th house, your house of goals, career, achievement, and reputation. And the thing with all this minor planet anarchy going on is it has not necessarily been that easy for you to get a real grasp on your real mission. But that, however, is about to change. And the reason it is about to change is by the good graces of the planet Saturn, which enters Sagittarius right around Christmas of 2014, spends some time in Sagittarius, then retreats back into Scorpio for one last brief visit, and then re-enters Sagittarius for 2 years on September 15th, 2015. So between Christmas and September 15th, there is going to be a kind of a trial phase of Saturn ingressing Sagittarius and working its way across what in this form of astrology we're doing is your 10th house cusp. And I'd like to consider some of the implications of that transit, since this too is going to be very good news for you and present you with some amazing opportunities. Now, of all the things that distinguish, say, for example, 2014's astrology from 2015's astrology, apart from all the wrenching events of 2014's astrology, the progress piece, the thing that comes in that is new, that moves the story forward, is Saturn changing signs from your ninth house to your 10th house. Saturn loves the 10th house. Saturn is at home in the 10th house, and it's one of the best places to find Saturn in any chart by transit or by natal position. And what we get here is a kind of a focusing lens. Could say a lot of things about Saturn in the 10th. You could talk about a period of achievement. You could talk about a period of really actually being known and recognized for what it is that you do. But from the most pragmatic standpoint, from the standpoint of kind of a actual change to your psychic environment and an action piece, what you get with Saturn crossing your 10th house is a focusing lens. All of that exciting activity, of all of those crazy wild planets and deep space points that are moving through your 10th house and will be for a long time, is going to, in a sense, be trumped by the presence of Saturn, which is going to focus all of these many different disparate stories into one cohesive narrative. And you are having now, because you are listening to this after Saturn has crossed your 10th house cusp, which it did, as I said, around Christmas time, you are experiencing the opportunity to bring real focus to the work that you do, and in particular, focus to your reputation, and more significantly, focus on the thing that you want to achieve. Maybe a couple of things, maybe one thing, it may be several things that interrelate to one another in some way, but this contact point with, you might say, with the culture and with your own ability to focus your energy and present yourself in a cohesive way and to be recognized in a tangible way is what this year and indeed the next few years are going to be about for you. And if you're someone who likes to be involved in the world, this is a beautiful thing. If you are someone who really does not have an interest in the world, I think then it's going to be necessary to find a way to make use of this energy in a way that is constructive and that is creative. Whichever side of the line that you fall on, when Saturn is active in your chart, whether you choose to respond to it as something that is an exciting call to action, or whether you experience it in a more passive way, the thing that both of these have in common is internalizing the Saturn principle. Said simply, be your own boss. To be your own boss, you have to really take that accountability thing, which we talked about with Nessus in Pisces, very seriously. There will be a series of Saturn Nessus squares that are going to demonstrate for you the simple necessity to take full accountability for your existence and internalizing the Saturn principle, being your own boss. Part of being your own boss means setting your own schedule and meeting your own deadlines. It means not having time imposed on you from the outside. It also means relating to people who are themselves in a position of authority over themselves rather than those who are under the thumb of anyone or anything. There is something of a rebellion here. You might think of it as a kind of overthrowing your parents in a way, or overthrowing conventional, traditional authority figures, which you never had much use for anyway, because you're the kind of person who really needs space from any kind of traditionally acceptable or vaguely palatable form of authority that most people would deal with and not say anything. That doesn't work for you because you have Sagittarius on this angle, and Sagittarius is nothing if not freedom-seeking. And so here you get this perfect blend of freedom-seeking in the work that you do and what you achieve at the same time as you are experiencing a kind of focusing of your personal power and your authority in a way that makes that freedom meaningful to you. It's possible to have lots and lots of freedom and not really have anything to show for it. It's possible to be highly confined and constricted and have lots to show for it. What you are being called upon to do is to actually understand the ways in which you need to always have spread your wings and been independent, while at the same time you are expressing a high degree of focus, organization, tangible goal setting, and really making sure that you are moving in a somewhat direct fashion from one achievement to the next. By no means does this placement guarantee achievement, but what it does is it sets the potential, it sets up the environment where success becomes unusually possible, particularly if you are determined, if you know what you want, if you maintain your focus, and if you, in one gesture, refuse to be bossed around by others and also insist that you are going to be the master of your own life. And this is a theme that comes up over and over again in your astrology. And hey, it might be the last thing that somebody would expect a Pisces to do, but right now you have every ingredient that you could possibly need to make this a real thing for you in the long term. All right, let's talk a bit about relationships. And the relationship story in your chart is told by a few different things. There's two major factors that I'm looking at. One is what's going on in Virgo. As I mentioned last year, and I've mentioned a number of times in readings this year, the thing that is coming out of Virgo that is saying that you must maintain a high degree of discretion in your relationships is the presence of this point called Trans-Pluto. Trans-Pluto is one of the hypothetical, or you might say pretend planets. It doesn't actually have a planetary body. It merely exists in the minds of astrologers in some few books that have been written and in the mathematical calculations of the astrology chart. And what Trans-Pluto does is it has the general theme of specificity. The notice that Trans-Pluto is putting you on is to be very specific about who you relate to and why you relate to them. So the kind of the mission of Trans-Pluto in your life is to get you to be precise in your ability to focus on the realm of relationships, on the environment of your relationships, and to really understand who has shown up and why they have shown up. So there's no game with Trans-Pluto. There really is a need to be very hyper-Virgo-ish in your relationships and, in a sense, insist on what you might think of as perfection of appropriateness. Perfection itself really isn't a value, but there is a calling to appropriateness, or what I'm sometimes referring to as specificity, with Trans-Pluto moving across your relationship angle. Keep this up for a while, and you will be very happy when Jupiter arrives next summer and opens the doors on all of those situations that were initially designed to fulfill their purpose, where the purpose of the relationship is the purpose of the relationship, and anything else that comes along with that may you may or may not want to indulge yourself in, but the important thing is that the primary purpose, the focal point, is that which is actually achieved. And Jupiter will come along and have an expanding effect on that and show you the potential of expansion when there has been a devotion to focus, to purpose. A lot in your charts about purpose, adhering to purpose, and being true to your reason for being. The other kind of wild thing going on in 2015 is that there are going to be three conjunctions of Venus and Mars. This is a fairly rare condition. It happens maybe every 10 years or so when there's a Venus retrograde near Mars. So Venus is going to basically be kind of following Mars through the zodiac for much of the year. The whole process basically spans from February to November. So that's like an 8-month stretch of time. And there are going to be a total of 3 of these conjunctions, which take place in, first of all, Aries. The first one takes place right at the beginning of the year, right in February. I'm not sure where the sun is on that day, but it's around mid-February where this happens. And this is the reminder, the most important reminder in any discussion of relationships, which is that your primary relationship is to yourself. I do not intend this in a self-centered, quote-unquote, or narcissistic, quote-unquote, way, but rather as a simple fact of metaphysics that the existence you perceive has to do with your own consciousness. And the consciousness that you experience is an outgrowth of your relationship to yourself. The mere fact of being a self and being able to say the words, I am, is a reflexive event. It is an acknowledgement of your existence in the universe as a relational fact. You relate to yourself, and therefore existence unfolds around you. And this reminder, Venus conjunct Mars in Aries in your second house, is saying that all manner of relationships exist basically radiating from the inside out of your life, including your sexual relationship to yourself, which is the, you might think of as the source point of all other sexual relating, since, just looking at it somewhat logically, you bring yourself into any sexual relationship that you are in. Hence, your ability to relate to yourself as a sexual being is the point of origin of every other sexual relationship that you have. And so this is a kind of a kickoff point earlier in the year saying, well, this really is the beginning. This unusually powerful Venus-Mars conjunction on the Aries point, right in the, it's 1 degree away from the first degree of Aries. It's at 2 degrees and 1 degree in 45 minutes. So that's very close to the beginning of Aries, and it is granted extra emphasis. It is granted a kind of extra power owing to that proximity to the very beginning of Aries, and it is indicative of some unusual ability to access your own inner resources because you are able to access them in a gender-balanced way. When a human being is in harmony with their own gender balance, that is to say, when your inner woman and your inner man are getting along, then there is an unusual potential to access energy and access resources. And that is thing one that happens with the Venus-Mars conjunction, which, by the way, I'm looking at some notes here, is on 2/22/15. So the sun is already in Pisces at that point, and this becomes part of your solar return reading. This kind of indicates a manifestation potential that is rooted in your self-relating and in your self-sexuality. And it indicates the potential to answer almost any question about yourself that you have through investigating, experimenting, and experiencing these kind of inner realms of reality. Then the next thing that happens is that the conjunction moves into Leo, and that's on 9/1/15. It takes place in Leo during the Venus retrograde, right in the middle of Leo. And this is an emphasis on two things. One is an emphasis on your workplace relationships, which are a source of tremendous power for you and an amazing resource for you. And then it is also an indication to be mindful of sexual health. And by sexual health, that includes psychic sexual health. Physical health, always a good thing to keep an eye on. But generally speaking, and it's become somewhat commonly accepted, especially within our subculture here, that psychic health is the thing that has the most profound impact on physical health. And so the self-esteem story that begins in Aries in February takes root in a new place in Leo in September. And the emphasis again there is on a state of balance, a state of harmony with the people around you, a state of honoring the need to keep some balance between the role of men and the role of women. And then finally, the third conjunction takes place on November 2nd in Virgo, in your opposite house. And there is where the whole process seems to settle down, and where this Venus factor and this Mars factor, having gone through this trial by fire, you might say, in Aries and Leo, wherein a trial by fire, wherein the female side of this equation learns how to stand up and be herself, learns how to stand up and count herself as equal to her male counterpart, not by dominating, but by meeting on a level plane, and also by doing something other than merely being inwardly submissive, by being real and by honoring desire as an affirmative, assertive thing that has the ability to start on the inside and then reach itself out into reality and not cower. Once the female part of this equation has done that, then there is the possibility for a real meeting on level ground, a real meeting in your relational house, Virgo, of Venus and Mars. And in this equation, I would say in Virgo, Venus and Mars are absolutely equal. There's some question in the Aries and Leo meetings. There's some question of competition. There's some question of which planet has an easier time to express itself. There's various issues like pride that will come up. But when the two are in Virgo, there is a kind of mutual submission to the truth and fact of self and other, and the potential for some really beautiful stuff to flourish. And, you know, everything about what you're going to go through over the next 4 to 5 seasons is leading to that. So you can tap into that now, and you can kind of scan ahead and say, you know, how would my relationships be if there were, if it were easier to find level ground, if it were easier to get away from this whole competition thing and the kind of never-ending marketing war between the sexes, and actually find that place where we all have a commitment to healing and a commitment to what you might think of as intelligent growth and intelligent coexistence. All right, this sums up the audio portion. I am eager to see what comes out in the written portion of this work, and I would remind you to check your rising sign if you are not Pisces rising. You do need to know your birth time, or at least your approximate birth time. Verify your birth time. Get a real chart. Make sure that you have your proper natal chart. If your birth time is even vaguely recoverable, do some legwork. Talk to relatives. If it's not easily recovered, do some research with the government, the hospital, the county in which you were born, and get your accurate birth chart so that you have it when you need it and that you can use it as a lifelong tool. For more information about the relational part of your life, I suggest you listen to the Virgo reading for more information, clues, you might say, environmental report about your career piece. Take a look at the Sagittarius reading. And I would also say that there's going to be, if you are on that relationship, especially erotic relationship query, look at your fifth house, Cancer, which is a place where you might say that sexuality and the concept of nourishment in relationships find a home in one place, the fifth being a very significant place in your house. For you, your fellow water sign, Cancer, and the place where, you know, you really do find a home as an artist and as a lover. All right. Thanks for listening. I'll catch you on a different day. Bye.